2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
You're listening to Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning, KSL News Time, 8:30.
It is 68 degrees.
I-15 continues to roll well. I'm Eric Butler.
Mandatory mask requirement. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Governors across the country are feeling pressure to make wearing masks mandatory. That includes Utah's Governor Gary Herbert.
He's expected to make a decision soon on a statewide requirement. KSL News Radio's Dan Bomas has more.
Governor Herbert met with legislative leaders yesterday. He'll meet today with public health officials. A decision could be announced this week. The Deseret News reports the Utah Hospital Association is concerned about the impact of increasing infection rates. It sent a letter to the governor saying the projected caseload could become unsustainable. Right now, 197 Utahns are hospitalized with COVID-19. That's up from 192 the week before. About half those patients are in intensive care. Dan Bomas, KSL News Radio.
Let's go in depth. As Dan just mentioned, the Utah Hospital Association has sent a letter to Governor Gary Herbert asking for a statewide mask policy.
The association's president and CEO, Greg Bell, joins us live on the KSL Newsline to talk about it. Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Morning.
Tell us a little bit about the argument that you're making to the governor asking for this policy.
Well, our infection rate has increased significantly since the latter part of May. Memorial Day was just really the liftoff of an increase that's unsustainable. We're feeling pressure in the hospitals, and we see that given the trend of the spread of infection, we've got to intervene in some way. About 2 weeks ago, the Hospital Association kicked off Mask Up Utah, self-funded advertising campaign urging Utahns to wear masks. We're encouraged by the adherence to that by a lot of Utahns, but it's not enough and it's not quick enough. So we have asked the governor in tandem with Governor Abbott in Texas and what we're seeing across the country to institute a mandatory mask order. We have only a couple of tools in our toolbox. We can either shut the economy down, or we can have everybody mask and socially distance as is proper and as we've been taught again and again and again. So that's our thinking.
I have some very close friends that are in the healthcare field, emergency room docs, a couple of them are nurses. And when they see somebody walking around without a mask, they look at it differently than maybe many of us do because they're seeing the end result of people coming in and they're having to deal with the infection on the other end.
That's right. It's, if you haven't been affected by it, it's a question of, well, why? What's the big deal? Why should I do this? But we cannot have 550 to 650, almost 700 infections tested a day. And we found out through antibody testing, you have to times that by about 2.4, right? We just can't sustain that. And as the pressure gets bigger and bigger and greater on our hospitals, we're going to have to make some uncomfortable decisions, and we want to avoid that. In our letter, we cited a study by Goldman Sachs. The chief economist of Goldman Sachs has shown that you can trade off a 5% decline in the GDP by 90% of people wearing masks. They've proven that in Korea and other Eastern Asian countries where they're used to wearing masks because, remember, with SARS and avian, H1N1, all of those, they wear masks also because of pollution. So because they comply with that, they've really nailed this problem. And that's what we need to do rather than go to a closed economy, rather than shutting it down again.
May I ask you, Mr. Bell, about where you stand now on PPE and hospital space?
We're doing well on PPE. It's been a joint effort with the state. The state's been awesome in using its resources to gather PPE. The hospitals have had time to replenish their supply chain, so we're doing okay. were doing fine. Most things were in good shape. The pressure on ICUs has evolved a little bit because, remember, 45, 60 days ago, it was all about New York, New Jersey, remember, and vents. Are there going to be enough vents? Well, we've modified our treatments a little, and, you know, we've found a few things that work and earlier therapies, but there is an absolute limit. We can expand ICU beds and oxygen, et cetera, but there are only so many skilled practitioners, intensivists, physicians, nurses, techs who are prepared to respond to the most serious cases. And so when we start hitting 85% in our ICUs, we're really starting to tap our resources. And one of our hospitals hit that over the weekend, and we just want to avoid that.
The association has been very steady about their appreciation for the leadership and steady guidance of our state officials and the governor in particular. Have you heard back from him?
No. I mean, no. Not since we sent the letter yesterday. We knew he was meeting with the speaker and the president, and they work together. The governor can't act alone. They've trimmed his powers, so he can't just issue these mandates for a long period of time. They're set to expire, as I understand it, August 26th. So we just thought we ought to let him know. The Chamber of Commerce came out Thursday or Friday with a similar statement, urging their businesses to contact the governor. I think the business community, the medical community, all see this as a way, this is a wall, a big wall that we can erect to keep us safe while we deal with this infection rather than shutting our economy down. We just don't want to do that again. And if we can mask, we can avoid that.
We appreciate very much all that you do, and we'll watch and wait for the governor's response. Thank you. Greg Bell, the association president and CEO of the Utah Hospital Association.